Good morning. It's good to have the Walker family with us today. We love you, each of you, and our prayers are with you in your loss, which is our loss too, Debbie. And in case you don't know, her service is tomorrow here at Reinhart Visitation at 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock service time. Please keep the Walker family in your prayers. And also, I just want to mention the Wilson family. Raise your hands, the Wilson family. We had some special baptisms last Sunday. You may remember, if you were here, I told you that we were going to have some baptisms in the river Sunday afternoon. And so that's what happened. Mark Wilson grew up over on a farm near Blackjack, Missouri, right? And the Sac River flows through their farm. And the family, several of the family members were wanting to be baptized. And they said, we'd like to go to the over near the farm and in the Sac River. And they said, it's cleaner than the Marmaton. And it was a beautiful setting. It's over east of El Dorado Springs. Many of you will know where Blackjack, Missouri is, but it's out there in the middle of nowhere. And we went to a public access area, a boat ramp, to get to the river on the farm. We'd have had to go through the soybean field, and so this was the next best place. And as we arrived, there was a fisherman down at the bank fishing. And Mark went down and he said, hey, I think we're going to interrupt your fishing. We're going to have some baptisms. And he was fine with it. He said, okay. And so there were about 20 of the family that had traveled over there to witness the baptisms. And I gathered them all around. I said, hey, come close. I want to read a scripture. I want to say a few words, and I'll pray, and then we'll have the baptisms. Well, I noticed our fisherman friend had dropped his line, and he's moving up closer to our group or on the outer edge of the group, and he's listening. And I thought, this is nice. He's being courteous. He's being respectful, and he's interested in what's going on. And I read from Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, and how he heard the scripture from Philip. He heard about Jesus, and he said, here's some water. What prevents me from being baptized? And so Philip baptized him right there on the spot. And so as we went into the water, the fisherman says, hey, will you baptize me too? And I said, well, yeah, we will. Let me talk to you and just let me take care of these four. And I baptized four of the Wilson family members into Christ. And then I called for our fisherman friend to come out into the water. And as he did, I said, you know, there's more to it than just getting dunked. There's faith in Jesus. I said, do you believe in Jesus as the Son of God? Yes, I do. Do you believe that he died on the cross and raised from the dead? I asked him that. Yes, I do. I said, are you a sinner? Yes, I am, he said. And I said, are you sorry for your sins? Yes, I am sorry. I said, well, come on out here. I'll baptize you. And we baptized him into Christ as well. Isn't that wonderful? So praise the Lord for the Wilson family and their decision, and we just all felt like it was a divine appointment. That had they not been planning to have that baptism there at that time, we might would have missed that fella, and he might would have missed his opportunity. I said to Cindy on the way home, won't it be something? Won't it be something if we get to heaven? And that guy said, hey, you remember me? I said, yeah, I do.
Isn't it good the Marmaton was dirty?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I talked to him about finding a church home, that would be very important for him to do, and I hope that he'll do that. Hope he's in church today. But his name was Kevin, too. So pray for Kevin, that God would bring him along in his spiritual journey. I have a picture that, Thomas, if you could put that on the screen there. I'd like for you to just look at this picture and study it for a moment. As I look at this picture and spent some time just meditating on it in preparation for this sermon, tears just swelled up in my eyes, thinking that one day, everything will be made right. You know, there's a lot of wrongs in this world, a lot of injustices in this world. But one day, for all of us who have our faith in Jesus, and for those of us who are all in with Jesus, the day will come that everything will be made right. You know, obviously, you see from this picture a cemetery. Gravestones are in the background. This cemetery is located in Salt Lake City, Nevada. And this particular gravestone marks the temporary resting ground of a 17-year-old boy named Matthew Stanford Robinson. And I say it's a temporary resting ground because Matthew was a Christian and he had the hope of a resurrection in Jesus. He has the hope and promise of a new body. You see, Matthew was born with cerebral palsy. He was without oxygen for a while during childbirth. And not only was he born with cerebral palsy, but he was also partially paralyzed and he was blind. And Matthew wasn't expected to live, but he did live for 17 wonderful years. His parents loved him dearly, and they were crushed when he died. And Matthew's dad sculpted this tombstone of his son leaping out of his wheelchair, something that he could not do in this life. And that is the hope and the promise that every one of us have in the resurrection of Jesus. Because Jesus is alive, because Jesus has overcome the grave, we are promised victory in Him. Whatever it is that might be holding us down, whether it's a disability, whether it's a sickness, whether it's an addiction, whether it's a sin of some kind, whatever it is that is holding us down, and we're struggling with it here on this earth and in this life, Jesus says, it's not going to forever hold you down. You will have victory in me. That's His promise for all of us who are all in with Jesus. We have the promise of victory. And I hope you believe that. It's true. Because He wins, we win if we are all in with Him. And over the last several weeks, we have been talking about the different areas that we need to be all in with Jesus. And today, we're talking about being all in with our worship. And let me tell you where we're going over these weeks to come, because really, today is kind of ending a series of sermons that we've been in for the last couple of months, of being all in with Jesus, with our money, with our worship, with our love, with our service, with our faith. And so next week, Elijah is going to kick off a series for us through the book of James. And I'm excited about this upcoming series. We'll go verse by verse through the book of James. And I would encourage you to be spending some time in that book over these weeks to come. I'm going to be gone next week, and I'm glad to be gone next week because my grandson, Stetson, is going to be baptized next Sunday. And so Cindy and I are getting to go, and we're going to be there for that baptism. In fact, another grandson in Indiana is planning a baptism in October. So some good things are happening in our family, and we're excited about that as the faith is being passed on from one generation to the next generation. But pray for Elijah, pray for me as we preach through this series of James upcoming. But today's topic is so important as we consider this under this umbrella theme that we've been in all year long, all of us, all in, all the time. Today we're talking about being all in with our worship to Jesus. Particularly, I want to focus on our personal worship. This is the time that we spend with Him apart from the hustle and the bustle of this life. Even Jesus needed this time alone with His Heavenly Father. If you've watched the episodes of The Chosen, you will have noticed pretty quickly that they give attention to this fact that Jesus oftentimes would be slipping away from the group, from the crowd, even from His disciples, for the purpose of prayer. Luke 5:16, it says, "But Jesus Himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray." This was a priority for Jesus. It's how He replenished His tank. He was giving and giving some more and giving some more. And so there were times that He just needed to refuel, and He did that by getting away alone with His Heavenly Father just to pray to Him, to talk to Him, to communicate with Him. How about this verse from Mark chapter 1, verse 35? "And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose, he went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there." I love the imagery of that particular verse. While it's still dark, before the sun was up, before anybody else was up, Jesus was up. And He's going out into a lonely place, into a solitary place, before the day gets too busy. And what is it that He's doing there? He's praying to His Heavenly Father. Mark 6:46 says, "After leaving them, He went into the hills to pray." Luke 6:12 says, "One of those days, Jesus went out into the hills to pray and spent the night praying to God." One more, Luke 22, verse 41. "He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and knelt down and prayed." If prayer was that important to Jesus, and it was so vital for His well-being, shouldn't it be an important part of our life too? Wouldn't you agree with me? The world has a way of draining us. It has a way of beating us up. We carry burdens, and those burdens can get the best of us if we don't have a shelter to run to and hide. He is our shelter. We need to pause and get away to be with the Father and have His Holy Spirit re-energize us spiritually. I wonder, do you have that kind of shelter that you can run to and spend time there on a regular basis? Do you take the time for such a renewing of your holy, of your being, of your spirit? I don't think I could have survived through the years without this kind of time. The burdens are too heavy. The challenges are too great to face on my own, and the challenges that you face are too much for you to face them on your own strength. You need this kind of refuge amidst the storm, just as I do. We need a rock to stand on, and that rock is Jesus. As we get away to be with Him, we spend time in praise to Him. Now, I realize sometimes, though, our burdens are so heavy and they're so pressing up on our mind that that's all we can think about. And so, yes, there are times that we get away to pray, and all we can do is go to our knees and cry out to Him, God, help! I need help. My loved ones need help. And we go to Him with our request, and we're crying out for His mercy, and we have requests that we're asking for, and that's okay. He tells us to ask Him. He wants us to come to Him as a young child goes to his or her father and has a request. That's God. He's wanting us as His children to come to Him with our burdens and with our requests. And we may be having tears just running down our face, and our heart may be broken. And He wants us to come to Him. There is no request that is insignificant to Him. There's no request that is too big for Him. No request that is too little for Him. Anything that is on our heart, He cares about it too, and His ears are open to us. But we do need to go to Him sometimes, oftentimes, just to praise Him. Could we at times just lay aside our worries and our fears and our requests, could we lay those aside and just go to Him and give Him praise for who He is? And there's so much that we can praise Him for. He is good. He is faithful. He is holy. He is patient. He's wise. He is all powerful. He is sovereign, meaning He is the one on the throne. Nobody else is on that throne. No one is going to usurp His authority. He is the all-powerful one. He is perfect in His judgment. His promises are true. We can trust His word to be true. We could go on and on this morning talking about who He is and the praise that He is deserving of. We need to go to Him in our worship. The psalmist said that God is enthroned on the praises of His people. In other words, He relishes our praise. Whenever and wherever it is that we are giving to Him praise, that's where we will find Him. He loves to be praised. He's deserving of our praise. When I learned how to give praise to God and to really focus on this aspect of prayer and personal worship, my spiritual life began to grow roots deep into Him. I became more God-centered rather than self-centered. My maturity level increased spiritually. My relationship with Jesus became so much more real and more intimate. All of that could be true for any of us here today if we will focus on who He is and give to Him the praise that is due him. Some of you know that from experience because you're already there. You know about praise and the value of giving praise to him. Some of you, if you're not knowing quite what I'm talking about, I want to encourage you to pursue this aspect of personal worship, particularly in giving praise to God the Father for who he is. And you know what? How I learned really about how to do this? I opened the book of Psalms, and this was years ago. I'm talking back in the 80s. Years ago, I studied through the book of Psalms, and as I studied through that book, I had a notebook and a pen, and I wrote down every aspect of God's character that was in the book of Psalms. And by the time I finished those 150 chapters, I had multiple pages, single space, of the characteristics of God. And none of it was a repeat. I mean, our God is an absolute amazing God. And if we can get to know him and to give praise to him like that, you too will experience your spiritual roots going deep, deep, deep into him. And you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same when you learn to praise him. And we need to not forget too to just give thanks to him. And there is a big difference. Praise is who he is. Thanksgiving is what he has done for us personally. And so when you are taking time for personal worship, you are giving praise to him, but you're also giving thanks to him for what he's done for you personally. And for each of us, that's a different story. For me, I'm thankful that he gave to me a mom and a dad that taught me about Jesus from my cradle up. I'm thankful then that he led me to Cindy and that he has allowed us to have three kids and eight grandkids. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that our health is good and that he's given us a home to live in. He's given us a free country. He's given us... Cindy and I, he's given us you. He's given us you, Reinhardt. And you are a blessing to us. And I hope that we can be a blessing to you in return. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And each of you have your own story too. And that's not to say that we don't have problems. That's not to say that there aren't a lot of injustices in this world and a lot of hurts. But we can count our blessings. We can see the good and the blessed gifts that God has given to each and every one of us. And as we involve ourselves in personal worship to him, a part of that time needs to be just counting our blessings. Psalms 107:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." We as parents love for our kids to come and just say thank you to us as we have done things or given to them good gifts. We like for them to say thank you, and so too God enjoys his children saying thank you to him for the good gifts that he's showered upon us. And if you would allow me for a moment to go back then to the request time. You know, I said sometimes our needs, our situations in life are such pressing that we just go and that's all we can do is say, "God, I need help." Well, there's a place for that. You know, maybe we're not in that dire need right now, but boy, when we go to prayer, God's saying, "Why don't you ask? Ask. I want you to ask. How about if we ask for lost souls to be saved? Let me remind you, those of us who have committed to Mission 15, we are to be praying 15 minutes a week for lost souls around the world. And you know what? We've got a number of people who have committed themselves to Mission 15, and they're praying for lost souls. And Reinhardt, since the time that I've been here in 8 years, we've never seen so many lost souls coming to Jesus as what we're seeing in 25. And I think it's because we are praying more for lost souls. When God's people pray for lost souls to be saved, There's not too many things that he desires to hear us pray about more than that. Because he longs for every soul to be saved. And take some time to pray for the sick to be healed. Take some time to pray for your family and for this church family and Elijah and Haley and myself. We would love for you to pray for us on a regular basis, that God would help us as we try to minister here at Reinhardt. And certainly our world needs prayer, doesn't it? Our world needs prayer. Our world needs peace. Now, I have spent the majority of the time of this sermon talking about personal worship. But let me for a moment go from there and talk about corporate worship. And let me say this too. If we take time in personal worship through the week, it's going to enhance our corporate worship on Sunday morning. Our personal worship is going to help us become better worshipers here in this room. We need to be all in with our corporate worship. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we came into this room every Sunday focused and directing our thoughts towards him? I want to give my best in worship today. If we could have that mindset, lay aside our worries, place them at the foot of Jesus, give our burdens to him, and we take the 20 to 30 minutes of time in singing, that we take that and we just lift his name up above every other name. He's deserving of that kind of worship. I want to say it is a blessing to me to be a part of the worship in this community of believers. I have never in my life been in a church that loves to sing like this church. That's right. I've never been in a church that loves to sing like this church loves to sing. And that speaks volumes about our worship leaders and our music team. We can't say enough about them. They are an amazing group of people, and you who are involved in that help lead us to the throne of worship every week. And we thank you for that. And it speaks highly of you, that you are willing to sing to Jesus and lift up his name. Now, I will tell you this. I have been in churches where so many of the people don't sing. Have you been in churches like that where people are just kind of standing there like bumps on a log? And they're not singing, they're missing out. They are truly missing out. And maybe they're not understanding the truth about worship. And sometimes the men particularly, I'll pick on the men a little bit here at this moment. Sometimes it's the men more than the women who are just kind of standing there not singing. And I don't know if we don't understand about true worship. God is not interested in how we sound. He's not interested in the beauty of our voice. He's more interested in the worship that's coming from our heart. There are times that as we're singing, and Cindy is standing next to me, and I hit a sour note, and she just starts laughing. But, you know, God's not too concerned about that. And there's times that there's supposed to be a pause, and these people are in this area. They probably hear it from me. There's supposed to be a pause, and I'm going, moving right along with the next stanza. And it can be a funny thing, but God is most interested in the worship that comes from our heart. And so let's be worshipers of Him. I don't know if maybe we think, I'm too macho for that kind of thing. Hey, God wants strong men. God can help us be strong men. In fact, a memory verse of mine just recently with a group of guys, 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14, it says, stand firm in the faith, be on guard, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. And so, you know, we need strong men. And think about this. I think Jesus was a strong man. Jesus couldn't have endured all that He did go through and not be a strong man. He was a strong man. Have you ever shook hands with a carpenter that had a jellyfish handshake? I've never. Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus was strong. I mean, that was a part of His living. He was a strong man. And so, don't be thinking, you know, I'm too macho for this worship stuff. No. God's interested in strong men, but He's also interested in men who have a tender side to them too, a soft side, a heart for Him. All of us need to be all in our corporate worship to God. I'll give you one final point, and this is just basically going to be the point, and not much more than that, and that is our whole life is to be glorious and honorable to Him. Hear the words of Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. And 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do in word or in deed, or whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Our whole life is to be lived in praise to Him. Our words, our attitudes, our thoughts, our eating, our drinking, our TV watching, our phone time, what we do with, you know, when we're by ourselves, it's all to be to His glory. All of us, all in, all the time. And today, particularly, all in with our worship. Let's pray.